with his children and his wife when it comes time to eat. The meal's prepared, all the dishes are there, the food's there. The father rises, takes the elements that he uses, and divides the food, serves his children and his wife. Old-fashioned way of doing that. I know that sounds strange to some of you now, but it was done at one time. That's the picture, rightly dividing. Rightly dividing. It's the picture of the high priest dividing the sacrifices according to the law out of the book of Leviticus and elsewhere, okay? It's the picture of a brick mason cutting and fitting a stone to fit in the very slot that he needs a stone in that a regular stone won't fit. That's the word, dividing, dividing. Rightly dividing the word of truth. What will that require? First of all, faithful exposition. Faithful exposition. May I say to you with all the fervor of my heart, gentlemen, I commend to you what I believe you're being taught this week. Give yourselves to the expository preaching of the Word of God. Attending a Bible conference in Benlipin, North Carolina many years ago, listening to Dr. Stephen Olford preach a solid week. At that time, I did not know who he was. But God grabbed hold of me and turned me every way but loose during that week. I wish I could tell you about it. Coming out of that week, however, one of many promises I made to God was this. I said, Father, when I return home, I will lay aside every old sermon outline that I had. I'll never return to it while pastoring. And I promised God that every time I stood before my people as pastor, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'd have a fresh word from heaven, or I wouldn't preach a fresh word. I did that for those 22 years that followed. And along the way, I became strongly convicted that I must do expository preaching. Take the word of God, line upon line, verse upon verse, chapter upon chapter, and preach through the word of God. I did that. I did that. I did it reluctantly at the outset with great fear and trembling, okay? Not knowing what might happen. Needing to know what God was going to do. And I asked him to show me the way. I decided I'd take my first stab with something short. I decided I'd preach through the Ten Commandments. I'd do one commandment each Sunday for 10 consecutive Sundays. That was my first effort to do, sure enough, expository preaching. I had finished that series 10 weeks, and about a month or two after the series, my phone rang one day. A lady in our church identified herself quickly, and she said, Brother Don, I've called to thank you for saving my life. I said, ma'am, what do you mean? I wasn't aware of that. I said, tell me what you're talking about. She said, well, preacher's like this. Several months ago on a Saturday night, I was up all night long trying to get up enough courage to kill myself. She said, I wanted desperately to die. I wanted to kill myself. She said, however, during the course of that Saturday night, I could not get up enough courage to do it. She said, that morning came and it dawned on me it was Sunday. She said, I'm going to go to church this morning, listen to Brother Don preach one more time. And if something serious doesn't happen in my life, I'm going to come home and finish the task. And she said, Brother Don, the Sunday I walked in that place, you were preaching, thou shalt not kill. Amen. Only God could put those pieces together, right? If you and I will obey God, he will obey and honor his word. There must be faithful exposition. Exposition, not imposition. Imposition is where you impose your ideas and your thoughts about the text. Exposition is to let the text speak for itself. Preach, thus saith the Lord. Line upon line, precept upon precept. God will honor that. He'll take care of the results. He's responsible for who's there and what they need, and he knows better than you and I will ever know. Somebody say amen. Amen. Go for it, preachers. The greatest task you'll ever have. You are spared so many miserable experiences. Come Monday morning, you get in your office, you start getting ready for the next Sunday, you finish the last sermon the night before, Acts chapter 7, verse 13, You know, the next Sunday morning you begin Acts chapter 7 verse 14 and you got your text in front of you and you study and you get ready. Wow, that's fun, isn't it? I hope you enjoy it. There must be faithful exposition. Every sermon must be definitive, contextually, and grammatically, theologically, doctrinally, in every way. Faithful exposition. And then lastly, fearless proclamation. Faithful exposition. You do your homework. You study. And then there must be fearless proclamation. The author of the Proverbs writer in 29:25 said, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." Gentlemen, may I encourage you, deal with any fear of man that may haunt you, track your steps. I know preachers well. I'm sort of like Junior Hill. I never met a preacher I didn't like. Came real close a few times. Seriously, never met a preacher I didn't like. I lovingly say these things to you tonight. I'm preaching to Don Grail. Gentlemen, you won't make it if you struggle with the fear of man. For the fear of man bringeth a snare. There is built into the program in any church, lurking in the shadows, that danger of a man of God getting afraid to preach, "Thus saith the Lord," to his congregation, because he knows that the people that he's preaching to are the people who give their tithes and offerings from which he draws his salary. And so I've seen many a preacher backpedal and compromise and do everything but preach, "Thus saith the Lord," because they are afraid of men. We must never allow that to happen in our life. We must never allow it to happen. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, Peter said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks for you a reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear," having a good conscience. Meekness, fear, a good conscience. He's talking about humility, authority, integrity. Defend, preach, teach with authority, with humility, and with integrity. And interestingly, when Jesus called his disciples together in Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16, he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" You remember that? They said, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah." Jeremiah was a man who illustrated meekness. Elijah was a man who illustrated fear or authority. And John the Baptist, a man of integrity. Isn't it interesting that they saw all three of those wrapped up in this one man, Jesus Christ? And they used all three of these guys to say, "That's what you're like." Hear me as I close, guys. Thank you for letting me share with you. Robert Murray McShane, one of my heroes, called by his peers of his generation the great, great Dundee. Dundee, Scotland, where he served. He was a precious, powerful man of God. He impacted Scotland, and God used him in the throes of revival to turn that entire country around for the glory of God. Robert Murray McShane, the Scottish divine. His peers, his preacher peers, called him the Scottish divine. You need to listen about a man who other preachers call the Scottish divine. After he died a good many years, a young preacher who loved him and followed him closely finally had the opportunity to come to Dundee, Scotland, and visit the church where Murray McShane led in great revival. During the days of revival in that church in Dundee, Scotland, they had 39 scheduled prayer meetings every week. 5 of them just for children. And they didn't give them a bunch of candy to hype them up and then have to tone them down. They taught them how to pray. Dundee, Scotland. Murray McShane. This young preacher came to his office. The custodian led him around, led him into McShane's office. And the elder guy said to the young preacher, "That's McShane's desk. Why don't you go around there and sit where he sat?" Reluctantly, but awed, he went slowly around, got behind that desk of his mentor that he loved so much, sat down behind the desk. Then the elder janitor said, "Sir, lean over on the desk like this." And he did. He said, now cup your hands like this." He said, "That's the way the master did it." Then he said, "Now, pray." "That's the way the master did it." And then when he finished the prayer, he said, "Now, cry." "That's the way the master did it." Awed by that experience, the janitor led the preacher around to the sanctuary where he saw McShane's pulpit. The janitor said, "Why don't you get behind that pulpit?" He did. He walked up there behind the pulpit, the janitor out here. He said, "Now, why don't you lean over on the pulpit like this? Put your head in your hands. That's the way the master did it." He said, "Now, pray. That's the way the master did it." And then he said, "Now, cry. That's the way the master did it." Fearless proclamation, mingled with tears of a broken heart, will drive the message of God to the heart of the hearers. That's the way the master did it. On one occasion, during the New York Crusade of the Billy Graham era, that great New York Crusade, you've heard about it. Stephen Olford was pastoring the Calvary Baptist Church downtown New York City. A moving individual in that whole campaign. Personal friend of Billy Graham. On one occasion, they were in a Q&A situation with preachers, a lot of young preachers there. They had an appointment immediately after that meeting, and they were running late, so they jumped up, explained their situation, explained to the guys, "We're late already. Please forgive us. We must rush out." So Dr. Olford took Billy Graham by the arm and kind of drug him along to get him on out of the building so he wouldn't be detained because they were already late for their next meeting. As they went down this long row of preachers who were hailing them, you know, one young preacher boy cried out, Dr. Graham, can you tell us, please, the secret to authentic ministry? The secret to authentic ministry. Billy Graham wasn't as sharp on his feet at that point as was Stephen Olford. Stephen Olford spoke up quickly and said, "A broken heart, bent knees, wet eyes. The secret of Christian ministry. A broken heart, bent knees, wet eyes." Oh, may we never do it otherwise. May we give ourselves during these days in this pastor's school to be that kind of proclaimer of the Word of God, fearlessly proclaiming the truth with a faithful exposition. And God will honor that. God will honor that. I give you a very simple yet profound invitation. I don't know if y'all can have any kind of music just to be played. If you can, wonderful. If you can't, don't worry about it. May I begin by asking you preachers, all of you men of God, may I ask you, as I ask myself, would you say to God tonight, "God, I want to be that kind of a good minister. And I want it bad enough that I will here and now commit myself to doing all that I know to do, to have it said of me one day that was a good minister." Simple words, but they're biblical words. I like biblical words, don't you? Preachers, if you would do that, you men of God, would you be the first to respond in a moment and come to this altar and let's pray together? And for all the rest of you, The secret to being a good minister. You must understand that you too are a minister of the gospel. You are not an ordained minister. God didn't call you to that role, but he called you to minister. He called you to minister to other people. So you come with these pastors and you stand here or kneel here and say out to God, God, I want to be a good minister. I give myself to the proposition to do what I must do to be qualified as a good minister of the gospel. Will you rise to your feet? Close your eyes. Let's pray together. That's right, guys. Won't you come on now? You men of God, if this is your burden and this is your heartbeat, this is your commitment, will you come kneel around this altar if your body will let you, stand, whatever you'd like to do. God bless you guys for coming. God speaks to others of you. Will you come? Will you come join these men of God? You need to be that good minister just like these fellows do. Will you come and commit with them, stand with them, hold them up? That's right. God bless you, folks. I'd like to pray with you guys who are here. I honor you, gentlemen. I love you guys. Thank you for letting me share the truth with you. Thank you for embracing the truth. Determine with me, I will with you, to be a good minister. Paul was able to bring his days to an end by saying, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. That's a good minister. Who can say that? Aspire for that, and nothing short of that. Give yourself wholly to whatever it takes to become and be a good minister of the Lord. Father, I thank you for the response of these men of God. Lord, you know each one of us. You know our heart. You know our need. Father, I cry out to you just now for mercy and for grace. Lord, you've spoken to our hearts, perhaps at many levels tonight. And Lord, I pray that you will bring that word to us all to fruition. Lord, we kneel here in this altar to say to you, I'm ready, Lord. Show me the next step. I'm yours. I'm at your disposal. I desire to be an effective, good minister. I seek the applause of no one save the hands that were nail scarred. Oh, God. Oh, God, give us grace to give ourselves to study like a servant, like an athlete, like a soldier, like a student, a workman, unashamed, preaching the word fearlessly, boldly, and in love. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Father, you'll set a fire in the pulpits of these men around me here. Where they serve you, oh God. Fire in the pulpit. Oh, how desperately we need that. The fire that will spread out from the pulpit to the lives of the people of our church. God, forgive us where we have failed to provide that kind of fire in the pulpit. May we never fail you again, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us courage. Give us determination. And may your will be done, oh God. I pray, believing in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, whose applause only we design to have. In Jesus' name, I pray. And all God's men said, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you. God bless you, God.
And God's people said, amen. What a great, great message. And as you stand, we're going to say a prayer of benediction. Brother Jonathan Owens, you come. Brother Jonathan's going to pray our benediction today. I want to invite you to come back and be with us tonight, tomorrow night, and share with us tomorrow night as we gather together here at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We've got a great, great... God's going to do something good tomorrow night. He's already doing great things, and he's going to do even greater things. Thank you. Brother John.
Let's pray. Our kindest, most gracious Heavenly Father tonight, dear God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that God, we got to hear from you tonight, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, the way you spoke to my heart, Father God, Lord. I thank you for the stirring, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you've done in each and every one of us, God. Lord, Father God, Lord, help us to be the good ministers, God, that you've called us to be. Father, I pray, God, tonight that you'd just break our hearts, Lord, for the things that break yours. God, I pray, dear God, Lord, you'd give us a burden, Lord, for the sinners, God, that are lost and on a road to hell, dear God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for loving us. God, thank you, Lord, for speaking to us tonight, dear God. Give us traveling grace, Lord, as we go our ways tonight, Lord, and bring us back safely tonight, dear God, ready, Lord, to hear from you, dear God, and ready to see what you can do. We'll thank you and we'll praise you, God, for all you're going to do. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen.